With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If Cincy wins again, Kansas City's going into the offseason saying, what do we got to do to beat the Bengals? That is all they're not worried about the division. They're worried about, okay, for us to get to the Super Bowl, how do we beat the Bengals?
Yeah, because they caught the last end of Tom Brady in New England, lost to them in the 2018 championship game, then kind of became the team back-to-back Super Bowls. Bengals got them last year. So, as you said, since he gets them again, now they're the roadblock. It's not Buffalo. It's not the Ravens. It's not Tennessee. Cincinnati is now the roadblock for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Bob, it's kind of like you know, like if you go into the locker room at Michigan, which I've been, I haven't been to Ohio State, where it's what have you done to beat Ohio State today? You know, I mean, that's kind of the motto for the Chiefs. It's about the Bengals. How do we beat the Bengals?
Also heard from Steve Spagnuolo, as you said, D.C. of the Kansas City Chiefs. In comparison, Joe Burrow to Tom Brady, probably a little premature to go there, but he's looking to get to back-to-back Super Bowls. He hasn't won one yet, but you would think it's inevitable given the difficulty of the AFC. It won't be easy, obviously, but Burrow does bring unique qualities to the occasion. He's more athletic than Tom Brady, but Tom Brady had that swag, and Joe Burrow certainly brings that to the table.
There's no question about it. He's got the cool. You know, I mean, they call him Joe Cool. I mean, he is definitely extremely cool there, and he looks – you know, like against the Ravens and stuff, Bob, the mobility that he showed in the pocket was unbelievable. You know, I mean, he just looked quicker and stuff. Maybe his knee feels better or whatever, but he just looked quicker. I mean, Oway's still looking to find him. You know, he's laying on the ground. Where'd he go? So's JPP. I thought I had it. Where is he? You know, I mean, both guys are fun to watch, Bob, because both guys are extremely creative.
Yeah, we're going to break down both championship games. Kansas City, 1-point favorites over the Bengals because Patrick Mahomes is going to play. It was early in the week, 2.5 in favor of the Bengals. Early game, San Francisco is at Philly. Eagles, number one seed in the NFC, going up against the 49ers, the hottest team in the NFC. And we talked about it yesterday. The four best teams in the NFL are playing for the right to get to the Super Bowl.
Right. And it seems like, you know, I mean, most teams are fairly healthy. You know, I mean, Cincy's O-line is a little questionable, but, you know, they say Kappa may play, Kappa may not. Against Jones, it doesn't matter. I mean, the Calais Campbell, whoever they put in there, Calais Campbell wore them out. And Jones is better than Calais Campbell, and he's going to wear them out. You know, so, and the thing that concerns me a little bit about the Niners, McCaffrey's not practicing all week. You know, so does that creep up? I mean, that means that they're just resting him to get him to the game. He says he's going to play. Of course he's going to say that.
Sure.
But how long is he going to last? You know, if that calf pops or whatever, then he's out. Then they lose a huge piece. Plus, the Eagles, over 70 sacks, you know, how does that affect Purdy? You know, how much pressure are they getting on Purdy? So there's a lot of interesting things. In all games, it's kind of interesting, you know, scenarios.
Yeah, and San Francisco, even minus McCaffrey, still has a ton of weapons. I mean, you want him because he has been an asset. Elijah Mitchell's an interesting piece in that backfield, too. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to join us. It's Vinny and Haney. We're live from Jones Nissan, Vinny, out here in beautiful Bel Air and looking outside the big, beautiful window around all of the – look at the cars.
Yeah.
There's a plethora of cars, and they're all shiny and brand new and waiting to be driven home. But it looks like it's a beautiful day outside.
Oh, beautiful day. Beautiful day here. Chuck's here, you know, making sure
makes it even more beautiful.
Yeah. And let me just say this. My man Brian Kilby, he's the owner of Jones Junction, and Steve Zell, the sales manager here, they told us, anybody come down between 10 and 2. If you come between 10 and 2, we can get you a special, special deal. I promise you, because the owner will come down and I can twist Kilby's arm. I know how to get him to work. We'll get Ray Washington, the number one sales dude. We'll get everybody here to get you a better deal than you can get at any other time.
Orioles made a trade yesterday. Cole Irvin comes over from the Oakland A's. Cole Irvin, he'll be 29 at the end of the month, a couple of days. Still in his arbitration, not even in arbitration yet. Pre-arbitration eligible, made $700,000 last year.
Lefty.
There's a chance he comes in and could be the opening day starter for the Orioles. Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. We'll talk about that deal as we're down 19 days away from pitchers and catchers. Also, Austin Voth, he settled his arbitration differences with the Orioles, so they took care of all of that nonsense. So no more drama surrounding that. So Rich talks about the Birds. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Keith Kavanaugh. We'll talk Terps with him. Maryland tomorrow taking on Nebraska at the Xfinity Center, a game you can hear on 105.7 The Fan, 4:30 tip. Jeff Hobson, bottom of this hour, we're going to preview this AFC Championship game. Bengals.com, he would come on the show. We used to get him on when I was at WNST, and he would talk about some 4-12 teams like they're going to be 12-4. Here he is 2 years in a row, actually having a chance to get back to the Super Bowl. So we'll talk to Jeff Hobson at the bottom of this hour. The whip around's coming up later in the show. Nolan McGraw is back at the station. The Bee Gees featured artist Friday. We're selling cars. We're talking sports. It's Vinny and Haney here on 105.7 The Fan.
Work sucks. They don't. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
He just tries to soak it in throughout the week. I mean, it's always harder on Wednesdays when you get so much and you're not going to get it right then. And he doesn't seem to over panic about it. He takes each rep, walk through the meetings, every clip we show. You can just tell he is locked in and just building up information all the time.
It's Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, talking about his rookie quarterback, Brock Purdy, and how he's adjusted within that offense that Kyle Shanahan, of course, designed. BG's featured artist Friday. Anything you want to hear from the Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, send your song request to the Plaza Sport text line at 410-583-1057. Purdy so far in the postseason, quarterback rating of 109.9, 3 touchdowns, no picks. He has also run for a touchdown, so he does not appear to be, at least through his first two games, overwhelmed with the moment.
He's played, what, 8 games now, Bob? I mean, he seems calm, cool, collective. You know, some guys are just like that, and you know, where Trey Lance had all kinds of issues. He comes in there and, you know, it's like he's a veteran right away. But you talk about lucky. I mean, where would the Niners be, you know, because they'd be like, oh, man, Garoppolo's almost back. You know, who'd be playing? Trey Lance would be trying to play quarterback now. Yeah.
Oh, they wouldn't be in the championship game.
Purdy's been playing. Purdy has been like an assist guy, Bob, is basically they're asking him, just don't turn the ball over. And he's done a little better than that.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't he bringing a little more to the, like Jimmy G is kind of the ultimate game manager.
Right.
Who can make a play or two. But he's kind of brought a little more to the equation in that regard.
And I think each week, you know, the coaches and his teammates feel that much better about the guy. And they're gaining confidence. So, you know, I mean, you don't look at him. I'm guaranteeing you the Niners, they don't look at him as, you know, this rookie quarterback or whatever. I mean, now he's played 8 games in the National Football League. He's in the NFC Championship game. He's not a rookie anymore.
What's the quandary that they have, San Francisco, heading into next year now? Jimmy Garoppolo is free agent, so he'll be gone. But you just used, what, 3rd overall pick on Trey Lance a couple of years ago?
Oh, Bob, how about all the picks they gave up to move up there?
Sure.
They gave up, what, a one or two ones? They don't have a one this year. I think what you do there is, because nobody's going to blow you away, because the kid hadn't played in, what, a couple years?
Right. Even his last year in college, he played one game.
Right. So he needs to go out. You need him to go out and play in the preseason and show something, you know, because Purdy's your guy. Purdy's won games. Purdy's calm, cool, collective. The guys would have a fit. The team, the fan base would have a fit if they, well, Trey Lance is starting. Kyle Shanahan wouldn't do that, you know. So eventually, you know, you're going to want to trade him. But right now the value is not at its highest unless, you know, nobody's going to give you a first-round pick or anything. So you can't. You get better value by keeping him and, you know, working with him and trying to get him to be, you know, show in the preseason, like let him dazzle people in a preseason, and it's like, okay, we, you know, and somebody gets hurt, we need that guy. You know, that would be kind of what I would do, unless somebody offered me a one. Now, you know, his agent, Trey Lance's agent's going to be working it, you know, at the Senior Bowl and the Combine. Hey, you know, get my guy. And because Lance knows that he's done in San Fran.
But it's a fascinating turn of events for them, because the same regime that drafted Trey Lance took Brock Purdy. I mean, they were all in on Lance, and it wasn't panning out for them. Sort of like when Green Bay took Jordan Love, and then Aaron Rodgers went back-to-back most valuable player.
A better one is when the Redskins took RG3, and then they took Cousins in the fourth.
Right.
You know, and Cousins ended up being the guy.
Right.
You
know, RG3 wound up getting hurt. And I mean, Lance got hurt this year, obviously, but he'll – RG3's was career-altering injury. Trey Lance probably isn't. But now it's like, well, we like something about this guy. They're going to have to explain to whoever they try to trade him to, well, this is what we saw in him.
Right.
Then why the hell are you getting rid of
him? Well, you got to have somebody that liked him coming out. But, Bob, I mean, he's got to go. I mean, for me to trade for him, I would have had to have loved him coming out, and I feel like I can develop him. Or he's got to play in the preseason. You know, he's got to play a lot in the preseason. Bob, I would play him, you know, in those three games, I'd play him a ton in the preseason and showcase him and let him go do. But, you know, the thing with the Niners, what you may do is like, because of the situation they've been in and they had with Jimmy G, all right, what if Purdy gets hurt? You know, and then you got Lance right there.
Right.
You know, because they've always kind of had that situation where, you know, they've had a solid number two, because Jimmy G was that guy that couldn't stay healthy. You know, and it looks like Purdy, you know, Purdy has played through some stuff this year already. So it'll be – and he's cheap. Both guys are extremely cheap. So,
right.
I mean, if you go with Purdy, Bob, kind of like the Buffalo GM was saying, I mean, you lucked out there. So you got a cheap contract for three more years. So you can do a lot of things in those 3 years because you're not paying a quarterback.
Now, when you look at San Francisco going up against that Philly defense that has over 70 sacks,
They
have four players with double-digit sacks this year. So that's going to be an interesting task for them to keep him upright and so he doesn't get rattled. But Kyle Shanahan, all part of the Bill Walsh West Coast offense going back 50 years, he's obviously part of that tree. And, you know, Purdy – regular season completed almost 68% of his passes. It's only around 62 in the first two games of the playoffs, but, you know, he seems to have an idea of where he needs to get it, and Shanahan, I would assume, will game plan accordingly to make sure he's not a sitting duck back there.
Yeah, he'll be getting rid of the ball. I mean, there'll be a lot of sprint right option boots and those kind of things. What Kyle, I'm guessing, is going to try to do is take their aggressiveness against them. How do you do that? You run misdirection type stuff, you know, and Kyle know what to do. I mean, Bob, when I was scouting, you know, when I would go to University of Colorado and Mike was the head coach at the Broncos, when I go scouting in Colorado, I would stay at Mike's house. And Kyle was like 10, you know. I mean, so I've known Kyle since he was, what, 10 years old? And, you know, so Kyle's a hell of a football coach, and he's like a clone of his dad. His dad was super, super smart, and Kyle is exact same.
Well, he's going to need all of that football acumen and then some against the Eagles coming up Sunday. It's going to be fired up in Philadelphia.
Yep.
They look really good last week, because when we talked about it going into the Giants game, well, Philly hasn't been sharp in like a month.
A lot of people were picking the Giants.
One of them right here at Jones Bel Air Nissan picked the Giants.
Good job, Bob.
They thumped him. I mean, it was a mismatch. It was Mills Lane was there. He was stopped at halftime. So they kind of got their groove back.
Yep.
Or were they just kind of taking advantage of a Giants team that may have suffered a letdown after winning that emotional game against Minnesota? A team they had already beaten twice, too.
Whatever it was, Bob, they played extreme. They were great that day. I mean, the two teams that played awesome were the Bengals and the Eagles. Both of them dominated their games. I mean, no ifs, ands, or buts, you know, and there was probably a lot to it that those guys helped the situation. I mean, because of the way they played, they caused the Giants to play that way. Same with the Bengals. You know, I mean, the Buffalo came out, said they were flat. You know, they were exhausted, mentally drained. They had bad practices all week. I mean, if you're a coach, Bob, you know, and you have bad practices all week in the playoffs, I mean, you're nervous as hell going into that game because you know what? You're just hoping that, all right, you know, maybe we turn it on. Because you're not feeling good going into that game because you hadn't practiced well all week. You don't have any juice. You're like, what the hell's the matter with my team?
Jalen Hurts is an MVP finalist. Of course, Brock Purdy was the last pick in the 2022 NFL draft. So it's a tale of two quarterbacks heading into the championship game, but both playing like championship quarterbacks at the most opportune time. And, of course, we'll talk to Jeff Hobson when we come back about the AFC championship game. Cincinnati Bengals getting one at Arrowhead Stadium. Excuse me, Geha Field. At Arrowhead Stadium. Again, weather will probably be ideal for KC. Not like Cincinnati's Honolulu anyway.
Right.
It can get rather nasty there. But has that invincibility factor for the Chiefs at home been kind of exercised? I mean, they are 8-1.
Well, it's
so
gonna,
it's not like they got hammered.
Right. It's going to be loud. And the thing is, when the Bengals going there, they've been there this year, and they've won twice down there. So they know what to expect. It's not going to be a shock to them. I mean, Bob, when I was with the when I was with the Niners and we went there in 94 to play, I'd never heard such, you couldn't hear anything, and Steve Young got sacked 7 times. You know, so it was like a shock to us. It's not a shock. They're feeling good going in.
Yep.
And they're probably talking, hey, guys, this is like our home field. You know, we don't lose here.
Well, they're calling it Burrowhead. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com. He'll be joining us next to preview the AFC Championship game. Remember, you can hear both games on 105.7 The Fan this coming Sunday. Later in the hour, we lost a broadcasting legend. We're going to talk about that as well. Rich Dubroff, top of the hour. Cole Irvin comes to Baltimore. Will he be towing the rubber in the season opener for the Birds?
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere f***ing else.
Featured Artist Friday, 105.7 The Fan. We're live from Jones, Bel Air, Nissan.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Right, Oliver?
And you don't have to be Columbo to figure out we're in Bel Air. It's Jones, Bel Air, and Nissan. And we're here till 2 o'clock. Great deals for you. Looking for a new ride? You want to come out and say hello? Get it done on this football championship Friday. And joining us now on the Ashley Furniture Hotline to preview the AFC Championship game and get his thoughts on the NFC, obviously, from Bengals.com. He is Jeff Hobson. Jeff, good morning. What's going on?
Hey, fellas, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate the time. We know it's been a busy week for you, preparing for your second straight AFC Championship game, second straight at Kansas City. And before we get to that, going back to the game against Buffalo this past Sunday, I don't think anybody stunned, Jeff, that Cincinnati won the game. But what was the most surprising aspect of that win for you?
Just how physical Buffalo. I mean, they just I thought it might be a physical game, but they just beat them on both lines, you know, and really wore them down. You know, I think that was you know, to go up there and hold them to 10 points. That's quite an effort from defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo and his guys.
Now, of course, I'm sure the big question has been for Kansas City anyway. Cincinnati's 3-0 with Burrow against Patrick Mahomes, including, you know, last year's championship game at Burrowhead Stadium. Apparently, Hobbs is what they're calling it. The outcome has always been in Cincy's favor, but ultimately, what has the difference in the games been?
You know, I think it's been obviously how the defense has, I think they've yet to allow a touchdown, I think, in the second half of all three games.
Intercepted?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's like Josh Allen throwing a playoff pass here.
Yeah.
Do we get it back? He's back, Vinny.
You back, Hobbs?
Yeah, sorry about that. Route 27, I hit a rough spot right outside Miami of Ohio there. Sorry about that.
Hey, Hobbs, let me ask you, you know, like, what are the keys going into this game, you know, different than the other three? Is there anything different going into this one?
Yeah, I still think that new Bengals offensive line, you got to get them comfortable quickly. Although it's funny, all three new guys on that line have played in a postseason game in Kansas City, including Max Sharping, the right guard. So I think they'll be okay, but they still haven't played a lot together. So I think getting off to a fast start like they did in Buffalo, to me, that's the key. You're playing with, remember last year in the AFC Championship game, they fell behind 21-3, and that's playing with fire, not to mention the odds. You know, but they've played so well playing, you know, I think they're 11-0 when they score first. And maybe even bigger than that, they're 9-0 when they got a lead going into the third quarter. So I think they got to jump out quick.
Hey, Hobbs, would you say, because when I saw it, when I was watching that game, I said, man, the weather is perfect for the Bengals because it's kind of a slippery surface. So they, you know, for an O-line that's coming in beat up like yours was, you know, a lot of new guys, it was perfect because the pass rushers can't get footing.
No, right. That's why I thought, you know, next to the offensive line, the stars of the game were Hubbard and Hendrickson, who handled the snow much better than the Bills did. I mean, they came off the edge like it wasn't snow, you know. But I think the Bills did. I think the Bills did have a hard time with that. And I think, you know, the Bills, you know, the Chiefs have better pass rushers. You know, Chris Jones is a stud. Frank Clark is a guy that's, I think he's got 12 playoff sacks. And you have old friend Carlos Dunlap. So you get some wily guys that know how to get there, you know.
Hey, Hobbs, you know, speaking of that, you know, because the Ravens had 4 sacks on them, you know, and Calais Campbell, you know, they got a lot of pressure on the inside, you know, and Chris Jones is, you know, if not the best D lineman in the league, he's number 2, you know. So how are they going to handle him? Because that would be my biggest concern if I'm Zach Taylor.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, I think those guys, you know, Teddy Karras, that's the reason they got that guy at center. Who's going to he's going to keep the integrity of the interior. And, you know, a guy like that, you really can't stop a guy like Jones. You got to make sure he doesn't wreck your game. And, you know, I think they've already shown the formula that is Burrow getting the ball out of his hand quickly. And you can't cover everybody, you know. He's going to find somebody quickly. I think that's the best way you got to attack a pass rusher like Jones.
Hey, Hobbs, would you say this, that, you know, probably I would say two of the most important things in this game, the team that turns it over least probably wins, and then the team that has the most yak yards wins the game? Because I think it's huge for both teams, because both teams rely on yak yards.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. The Bengals running backs.
Oh, like 900 yards hops between the two.
Yeah, well, last week they had 172 yards rushing, and like 100 came off yak. And yep. Chase and Higgins and Hurst, very good at yak. You're exactly right. I still think it comes down to, just like it did last year, Vinny, just like it did last year, Patrick Mahomes on the doorstep as regulation ran out. Last year, the Bengals stopped them, forced overtime and won. This year, who's going to be on the doorstep, and will they get through the door? I think it's going to be, you know, this thing's going to be decided in the red zone in the last minute.
Jeff Hobbs at Bengals.com joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan on the Ashley Furniture Hotline, Zach Taylor. And we're going to hear from him when we come back from our next break, Hobbs. But Vinny wasn't a fan. He has changed, and rightfully so. What is different about him? I know talent's much better, but when he first took over the job to where he is now on the eve of going to a second straight Super Bowl?
Just doing the job. Just being comfortable in the job, knowing the job, going through the job. You know, Zach's a smart guy. He's one of these guys, you know, if he makes a mistake, he's not going to make the same one again. He takes exhaustive notes. And you just cannot underestimate how well, he knows his locker room. Duke Tobit, Mike Brown, Zach have put together this really this seemingly this chemistry. Everybody raves about it, and Zach knows exactly how to mix it. He knows what you know. He knows when to heat up the Bunsen burner, when to back it down. He knows when to run his guys hard, when not to, when to take him inside, when to take him outside. And I think, you know, you got to remember, this is a guy who's also calling the plays. So I think he's gotten comfortable. With that, and it's clear because, you know, yeah, you can say he's got Joe Burrow. Well, a lot of guys have screwed up Joe Burrows down through the years. This guy has not, and he's made him better. And he's done it by coaching his team. And I think that's a you got to tip your hat to the guy. He's done it. He's been wearing two hats. Tip both of them.
All right, Hobbs, last thing for you. Assuming since he gets to the Super Bowl, who are they going to play? Who's your NFC champion?
Boy, well, I think we all want to, and Vinny knows this as well as anyone, from a storybook standpoint, it's got to be Bengals 49ers, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We got, you know, there's a lot of poetry and angst and all that stuff. Bengals 49ers. And I hate to pitch against a guy like Hurts. I love Hurts. He was down at the Senior Bowl when we were at the Senior Bowl. Burrow chose not to play in the Senior Bowl, so the South team, coached by Zach, had Herbert and Hurts. You know, pretty good set of quarterbacks. I was really impressed by Hurts' demeanor, how he carried himself, and how the guys responded to him. He's a winner. Hurts is a winner. And, you know, but Shanahan is brilliant. You know, I mean, I think, you know, I got an idea. With that defense and the way he runs the ball, I might be able to get a win as a starter. But,
well,
you know,
in your resume.
You know, my heart says the Niners because I love Shanahan, what he does, and it'd be a Bengals 49ers, it'd be unbelievable. But my head says Hurts. This guy's a winner,
Take an Aspirin. Hey, Hobbs, take an Aspirin if your head hurts.
He's Jeff Hobbs at Bengals.com. Ashley Furniture Hotline. Hobbs, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the championship game. And if you get to the Super Bowl, we'll be talking to you on Radio Row, I'm sure.
My head has exploded for the last 3 days. Thanks, fellas. Really appreciate it.
All right, Jeff Hobson joining us. We'll come back, reset the program. Going to hear from Zach Taylor, and a broadcasting legend passed away last night. We'll talk about that as well. Rich Dubroff talks about the new Orioles starting pitcher. Will he be at the top of the rotation, or does Mike Elias still have work to do? We got all of that and more coming your way. We're live from Jones Belair Nissan in Belair, Maryland. Come out and say hello. We're here till 2.
One day trades.
3 cents a share. That's $3. You cheap.
And one plays scratch offs.
When we go to gamble, we go to lose.
If they still work here, you can bet they're in the bin. Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
When guys lead by example and guys know they have potential and they've shown the ability to reach that potential, and then when they speak, people are going to listen to them. I think that's just a respect thing from the team of they appreciate the work that he puts in. And
that's Zach Taylor, head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, who's earned some respect himself, as we just talked about with Jeff Hobson. But he was talking about Joe Burrow and how other teams respect him, even though he comes off a little cocky. Dresses interestingly. I mean, if you got that kind of swag and that kind of talent, I guess you could push the boundaries with your outfit. But he's respected and has done so in a relatively short period of time.
Yeah, and I think most important, Bob, he's respected in that building and in that city. You know, so I think that's the biggest thing where he gets, you know, that kind of respect. You know, and with Zach Taylor, Bob, I was going to ask you, do you think, Bob, that if he was in the same situation he was a few years back against the Ravens, that he'd kick that field goal at that time or just go ahead and get shut out?
Nah, I think he would take that L. But yeah. Who knows? Maybe people respected him for that. Like, hey, I'm going to fight, make sure that we don't get shut out. It pissed off Wink Martindale.
Wink was running hot after
right.
that.
But, you know, who knows? I mean, hindsight's always 20/20. But since then, he went from a guy that could get fired
yeah.
after 2 years to a guy who might be going to a second straight Super Bowl.
No doubt about it. And back to Burrow. I mean, Bob, I mean, If you got it, you can flaunt it, and he backs it up. That's the biggest thing is he backs everything up that he taught. And the comments that he makes, you know, I think fans like him. And I think other coaches around the league, I think every coach around the league would love to have that kind of guy in his locker room as his quarterback. I would.
Now, there's a narrative growing nationally about comparing the two, Mahomes and Burrow. I think Mahomes is the best quarterback in football, with all due respect to Joe Burrow and right. Josh Allen and Lamar and everybody else that would be brought up in the conversation. But is the gap closing, especially if he beats him again? And then he's 4-0 against him.
Yeah, I would say because of that, Bob, I mean, you're head-to-head, and if he's 4-0 against a guy, you know, is it all because of Joe Burrow? Well, you're head-to-head, and, you know, one guy makes mistakes and stuff in those critical games, and you don't, and you win them. I would say the gap, you know, is definitely closing, you know, in that, especially if Joe wins again. Does he have better weapons? I think the big thing that we don't know about Burrow that we do know about Patrick is that, I mean, Patrick's basically got one Pro Bowl guy, you know, one elite guy as a weapon.
Travis Kelce,
and he doesn't have Tyreek Hill anymore. So he's making a lot of those guys a lot better, whereas, you know, although you could say, I mean, T. Higgins is all of a sudden, you know, taking a huge jump, and Chase has been Chase from the get-go.
Sure.
You know, and Boyd's good.
Solid three.
Look at, and Hurst has gotten better. He didn't practice yesterday. You know, his calf was bothering him. And look at the running backs, how they've got them involved now, you know, in the pass game. So, I mean, both guys make people around. Bob, flip, I'm with you. I love Mahomes, too. But if I had Burrow, I'm not complaining.
No, I mean, you're winning a lot of football games.
Yeah.
I mean, they won the division back-to-back years, as we said. AFC Championship game back-to-back years. Mahomes is probably going to win the MVP. I mean, that, and if they get to another Super Bowl, that'll be his third.
Yep.
He's probably then cemented a Canton bust already.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever else he does would just be icing on the cake.
Well, Bob, you look at the four teams that are in the Final Four, and there's a reason why they're all there. Look at the quarterbacks. You got three of the four that are up for MVP. And then you got the other one who's up for Rookie of the Year.
Right.
So, I mean, they're all
in half a season.
Yeah, in eight games. So you're talking about elite quarterback play. And that's why when people talk about, you know, the Ravens trading Lamar, you know, and getting, you know, a lesser guy, look who's going to be in the Super Bowl probably. Two MVP candidates. If you don't have that, and I keep saying it, if you don't have an elite quarterback, man, you can't get to the Super Bowl. So that's why all these people that think that they're going to trade Lamar Jackson, it's totally wrong.
Hey, we've got plenty of football talk coming your way. We've got news from the Nest. We have Cordell Woodland's going to be joining us, going to be doing our Super Bowl picks. So we are chock full of championship game fun. Remember, the championship games are on 105.7 The Fan this coming Sunday afternoon. Before we get to the top of the hour, and Rich Dubrow's going to talk about that Orioles trade yesterday and the arbitration settlement with Austin Voth, who's a nice workable piece for Brandon Hyde and his pitching staff. Billy Packer passed away last night. I mean, I didn't see the news, so I got up this morning because apparently it happened around 10:30, 11 o'clock. For people from this area, he played at Wake, got his start broadcasting, doing the C.D. Chesley productions back in the early 70s. I mean, he was still in his early 30s. And he did the 74 ACC championship game, Maryland and NC State, along with Jim Thacker, which to this day, it's still considered by many the greatest ACC game ever played. Then he branched out nationally, of course, with NBC. He did Final Fours with Kurt Gowdy, Dick Enberg, Brent Musburger, Gary Bender, and finally with Jim Nantz. But that trio, when he was at NBC, with Dick Enberg and Al McGuire after yes. he retired from Marquette, in my opinion, rivals the trio of Monday Night Football of Gifford, Danny Don, and Howard Cosell. Where Dick Enberg was a smooth broadcaster professional. Billy Packer was a player and very limited coaching experience. But McGuire, a national championship Hall of Fame coach, sounded like he didn't know who was on the court. Yeah. I mean, he would bring strategy, and McGuire was more of a street-savvy sort of coach. He wasn't going to X and O you to death. But he and Billy Packer would always butt heads, which brought a nice dynamic to those broadcasts. I grew up with him as a Maryland fan. People of my age and older certainly know Packer and Thacker. They were the ACC duo. 82 years old. I've interviewed Billy Packer many times. He was always great to me. So rest in peace, Billy Packer. To my opinion, you're still the best college basketball analyst that's ever walked the face of the planet. With all the respect to Duke EV and to Jay Billis and everyone that's come after him. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Rich Dubroff, Target Orioles. Orioles, they added to the starting rotation. Are they done doing so? We'll talk to Rich next here on the...
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.